With an NBA title this season, LeBron would move to where on your all-time list?
Okay,
look, Greg, I'd have to see exactly how much LeBron had to do with said title. Did he hit 5 walk-off shots along the title trail? Or did Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves mostly carry him to that title? If he led the Lakers to this year's championship, if he was the driving force, he was the reason for that being, if he were the MVP of the finals and he won his 5th ring, I might move him ahead of an all-time clutch closer, an all-time great shooter in Larry Bird, 8th ahead of his 9th.
Hey, yo, welcome back to another episode of Put 30 on the Clock. I'm Coach Phil, and as usual, let's get right to it. What you just heard was Skip Bayless on the Skip Bayless Show talking about, you guessed it, he's talking about LeBron James for the 21st consecutive year in a row. And it may come off as hating to some of y'all. It may come off as truth. That's not really what we want to take from this today. What we want to take from this today is how you should approach your own career. When you find success, you have to understand that the goalpost will always be moved in order to make you chase it. If you are especially if you're a star, if you're a star player, it will never be enough that you checked all of the boxes. At this point, once you check all of the boxes, it will be about, well, how do you rank amongst those who were great before you? And then when you check all of those boxes, well, how do you rank amongst the top 10 who came before you? You check all of those boxes, are you the greatest one? How is it that somebody like LeBron James, now this has nothing to do with how we feel about LeBron James, because there are some people who hate this man, there are some people who love this man. But how is it that looking at his basketball resume and talking about having a basketball conversation, how is this man's credibility up for debate at all, right? Being 9th best to 8th best. Like, if he has to win a 5th championship to take 8th place from Larry Bird and Skip Bayless's mind, but whatever. How is it that someone who has checked so many boxes is still under so much scrutiny? Is still being judged? How is it that somebody in their 21st season in professional sports is still being judged as if they are in their 6th season? It is wild. The reason for that is there's always somebody or something to move the goalpost to force you to keep proving it. You can't name a basketball box that LeBron James hasn't checked. I think the only thing he hasn't really done is won Defensive Player of the Year. But if you go back into the history and if you ask the players he's played against, it's not hard to go on YouTube and look up LeBron defensive stats. We're not even talking about chase down blocks. We're not talking about weak side blocks. We're not talking about deflections off passes, but straight up man-to-man on the perimeter, straight up man-to-man on the block, straight up guarding people in the mid post. LeBron James was an excellent defender. No, he did not win Defensive Player of the Year, but it's clear he was an excellent defender. This is the only person who has ever been held to the highest standard of every category. I mean, he's held to the higher standard of point guards in regards to how many assists he gets. He's held in the highest standard of scorers. He got the all-time leading scorer thing now, so I don't know if there's anybody who can challenge him. He's held in regards to amongst the best rebounders, amongst the best shot blockers. Like, everything this man does, he's held to the highest regard. There's not a box he hasn't checked. And yet there is still a narrative of people. There's still a collection of people out there creating a narrative that he has to prove something. I think it's wild to demand that anybody in their 21st year of anything is in a position where they have to prove something. They should be going off into the sunset. They should be disappearing. They should not be dominating your conversation. It is enough of a testament of their greatness that you are talking about them in their 21st season of professional sports. There's no reason you should be talking about somebody in season 21, but if you're talking about them, that's enough. But if LeBron James can't escape the desire of the masses to tell him to keep proving it, what does that say for you? man got four MVPs, and people could argue he should have got more. He got four titles. Man played on Team USA twice, got the golds, won All-Star MVP, Finals MVP, you name it. Like, there's nothing he hasn't done. And yet there's still somebody telling him to prove it. But let's bring this back down to you, right? If you was playing in junior high school, middle school, and you started playing AAU ball, right? There's always somebody that you got to match up against. There's always some teams you got to beat. There's always a competition you got to prove yourself against. So now you going up in AAU, and now you find yourself in high school. When you get to high school, you got to prove it, you know, your freshman year, that you belong here and that you can contribute. I mean, if you a freshman and you make varsity, that's a real statement, right? But you got to prove it. Right? Because who's really going to start a freshman unnecessarily? Or who's even going to put a freshman on their team unnecessarily? So you got to prove it. Then you do your thing in high school, and now you get to college, and you got to prove that you deserve playing time, right? You got to prove that you deserve to be there instead of this 21-year-old junior. You walking in at 18 years old, this person is 21. That person could drink. You know what I'm saying? You got to prove that you're better than them and that you deserve their minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times we just see, you know, the top players going to these schools and they do their thing, but there's a junior whose spot that they took. How does that junior feel? You know what I'm saying? And then there are so many people we don't know about that are 21, 22, 23 years old losing their spot to an 18-year-old. You don't think that does something to their ego? But that 18-year-old had to prove it. You got to prove it, right? Then if you're lucky enough, you move on to the professional ranks. That could be overseas. That could be the NBA, whatever. But now you got to prove it. Every rookie who's ever been good and had a long career has said that getting to the NBA is like starting all the way over, like from zero. How is it like that? Now, I guess you got to get there to know that, but the game is completely different. The skill set's completely different. The abilities, the strategies, it's night and day from this nightmare you used to play called college basketball that somehow you got used to. You got used to this nightmare. Now you're starting all the way over. It's almost like you never hooped before. That's insane, because you played AAU in middle school. You played high school. You played AAU through high school. You played college. You got years and years and years of experience in different styles of basketball. You know what I'm saying? Round robins. You got all these different rules, and you got to the highest level, and it's like, welcome to ground zero. Welcome to the first level. It's crazy. It's insane. Somehow you get through the pros and you make yourself, you know what I'm saying, a respectable six man. You get the six man of the year award. How in the world did that happen? You're the best person off the bench. You're like, well, why you ain't starting? Somebody you end up starting, and they're like, well, I see you averaging your little 14, 15 points a game, but you ain't no all-star. I mean, there's only certain things you could say. You know what Shaq say, G14 classification. There's certain things that you can't say. There's certain things that certain rooms you can't get into. Okay, now you find your way to an all-star game. It's like, well, you only made it once, bro. I mean, you can't talk like that. You only made it once. Just going down this list, it's like, yo, how have hands not been put on people? I'm sure there had to be fights in the back. Because you coming from working your whole life, you climbed the ranks, you did the right things, you got there, and it's like, well, you only did it once, can you do it again? You make another all-star game. All right, great. You find yourself somehow by a miracle, you find yourself on all NBA third team. Well, you wasn't second team or first team, bro. Calm that down. You talking reckless right now. You third place. You third string on all NBA. It's like, hold up, this is the whole NBA, and I'm the third best at my position, and it's still you still talking to me while? You make first team all NBA. You the best player at your position. It was like, well, if you're the best player at your position, why you ain't lead them to a championship? It never ends. It never ends. You win a championship and they like, yo, you can't do it again. Your whole season was a fluke. And that is mind blowing. You telling me 82 games and an entire playoff run was a fluke? A fluke might be 40 minutes in college. A fluke might be a 32-minute game in high school. A fluke might be 48 minutes in an NBA game. But we played 82 games, and every team we played, we had to beat them four times. And y'all with a straight face look into the cameras and tell the masses, oh, no, that was a fluke. They can't do it again. That whole year was a fluke? The whole thing? You know how many legends don't have a championship? You know how many legends don't have a ring? So when somebody does win a ring and they won it one time, it's like, well, that was only one. That was a fluke. Do it again. I don't know how you could have a fluke from September to June, damn near July. I don't know how you can fluke an entire year. But whenever it comes to your success, there's always somebody trying to move the goalposts, and you constantly have to keep proving it. So the issue is this. What exactly are you proving, and to whom are you proving it? Because if you're talking about people on the sideline, if you're talking about people that are not on the court, I mean, that might affect your money. These talking heads they play a role on how you're perceived. And it's the casual fan that pays for everything. Let's be real about this. It's not the diehard fans who buy all the NBA league passes and the uniforms and the $42 hot dogs and the $96 Cokes at the game. Nah, it's the casual fans paying $500 for a replica jersey. It's them. The casual fan makes this whole thing go. You lose the casual fans, you're going to lose the whole game. So when you have these talking heads on TV, they need to talk to the casual fan. They can't talk to real fans. You want to get real fans? Go start a podcast. That's what that is. Like, you go start a podcast. But it's the casual fans that pay for everything. So it's the casual fan that you have to direct your attention to. They're the ones you have to appeal to and reach out to. That's what that is. So if you're trying to reach these people now, you know, the casual fan might not want to come see you. The casual fan might not buy your uniforms. The casual fan might not buy a ticket. They might not, I don't know, they might cut their subscriptions. They might vote with their dollars and not spend it with you. So now you go on to management talking about, yo, I need a contract extension, or I'm a free agent this season. What are we talking about? And they like, yo, I don't know, man. The way you looking, you know what I'm saying? Like, they called you out. You was averaging 14, then you averaged 20, and then you fell back to 18. You'd be like, I fell back to 18 so we could win a championship. I know, and I'm grateful that you helped us win a championship, but you asking for 25 points per game money. Bro, I was capable of 25 a game. I averaged 18 for the championship, and we appreciate that. Thank you. But you can't get 25 points per game money, and you only gave 18. So there's, to a certain extent, where you have to, like, put up with what these talking heads are doing, because they're gonna influence the casuals, and the casuals are going to influence the owners. And the owners, whether they know better or not, who knows? But depending on what's being said, what's being done, this is business. And they have to appeal to the people who keep the business going. You don't have no casuals, you don't have no NBA, bro. That's just the way that goes. So you got to prove it to some extent. And that's going to interfere with a lot. That's very messy. It gets worse than that. But, like, I just want to prove the point that, like, you have to prove it over and over and over again. But to whom? And it might be to one of these talking heads every now and then. Sometimes you just got to prove it to your coach. I deserve to be on the court. I'm playing better than this other person. You need to prove it to that other person, the person whose spot you're trying to take. Sometimes you need to dominate them on a brand new level where they're willing to be like, all right, I understand I'm outmatched here. I hate it. This is killing me. But, like, this is clear. Like, you might have to, like, prove it to them. Like, you got to prove it to your teammates where it's like, yo, coach, we got super hot fire, not super hot fire. We got hot fire on our bench. And you know what I'm saying? We got warm water starting in the starting lineup. You need to put that fire in the beginning and let that room temperature water come off the bench. You know what I'm saying? So who are you proving it to, and why? What exactly are you trying to prove? Now, I want to use that LeBron example. I wanted to use that so much because I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever. To be honest, I don't think we should be. First of all, I think he gets too much coverage. Like, if he tweets anything, there's going to be 100 posts about it on social media, and it might be the leading segment for your favorite debate shows. And all this man did was send a tweet. I think it's wild that they on him like that. That's crazy the way they on this man. If he tweets something, it's news. That's crazy. But the goalpost is constantly being moved, and there's not a box he didn't check. Like, the people who talk craziest about him would trade their basketball resume for his in less than a heartbeat. And it's not even debatable. Like, the standard to which he's being judged is not amongst regular ball players. It's all-time greats. And it's not even like basketball so much. It's more like behavior. Oh, Jordan would never flop. Let's say LeBron is a flopper. You're telling me that's what makes Jordan greater? Right? And you know how sensitive people are. I personally think Jordan's the greatest. I do. That's my opinion. But did you notice that if you say what I just said, it would make people feel like I thought LeBron was the greatest? Like, the man's name is so controversial, and people are so sensitive about this. And it's like, how in the world did that happen? We're judging a man's facial expressions. We're judging, you know, if this man is flopping or not and how that affects his legacy. I think it's embarrassing, and it's an indictment on all of us as consumers that we're that interested in anybody that much, especially somebody who's in year 21. I think we all need to collectively just back up. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But if LeBron decided to keep proving it, if that was his choice to keep proving it, keep proving it, keep proving it, I mean, I don't know that man, but it might be the very reason why in year 21, he's still talking about, like, winning a chip. Did you see Vince Carter in year 21? Vince Carter in year 21 was glad to keep playing, glad to keep contributing, and happy to share with the younger generation. And there's nothing wrong with that, because nobody should be able to play 21 years of professional basketball. I don't care what level. You look at Vince Carter and it was like, nah, he wasn't talking about leading his team to a chip. He was talking about, yo, I'm still here. And that's the right attitude. When you seen Dirk, I think Dirk retired after like 21. He wasn't talking about leading no chip. It was like, yo, we got this Luka guy. Cool, I'm gone. Let me hit this last jumper real quick. This man's talking about winning the championship. I just, you know, anyway, if LeBron has to deal with people like Skip Bayless constantly questioning the validity of his resume, what he's capable of, constantly telling him that he's not enough, I think it's wild. But if he can't escape it, I don't think anyone else can. So I share that example for you to let you know that as you climb, there's always going to be somebody telling you, yo, you need to prove this, you need to prove that. And you need to be fully aware of what you're trying to prove and to whom, because there are going to be people in this world constantly telling you to do jumping jacks, and they are not worth your time. They're not worth your attention. They're not worth a thought. Some of these people just want to know if they have any power over you, or if they can convince you that they are more than what they really are. Whatever the case may be, you have to be in complete and utter control of what you're trying to prove and to whom you're trying to prove it to. This is Coach Phil. I appreciate you spending this time with me. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. Share this with somebody you know, because you know somebody who needs to hear this. You got successful ball players around you. You are a successful ball player. Make sure you're always in control of what you're trying to prove and to whom you're trying to prove it. I'll holler at y'all next time.